Yeah, so, you know, by the grace of God, we've been studying, you know, the hidden wisdoms of God and trying to see how God has been hiding the truth about his son, hiding the revelation of his son, the revelation of God in plain sight. And all these are hidden in Christ. And Christ represents the Spirit of God, represents that eternal Spirit that existed. And he comes and becomes flesh and makes his dwelling among us. And we have beheld his glory. And the Bible tells us that God was pleased that he dwells in humanity. And, you know, and we've been seeing how divinity is hidden in humanity. And this has been the plan of God, the wisdom of God. And today I also want us to see what I will call is another wisdom of God, in that God, who is invisible, releases that wisdom that he comes to be visible for us through Christ and through sending of his son, Jesus Christ. Because I believe that, you know, you can think of a God who is invisible, a God who is spirit, but wants to be known, wants to be known by his creation. And so what he does is that he brings forth his son. And that's why the Bible says that which is born of you is of God and is of the Holy Spirit. And the Word was made flesh and made his dwelling among us. And we're going to look at Colossians chapter 1, verse 15, and just some verses there. And we're going to see how God has allowed the fullness of God, or rather the fullness even of the Godhead, to dwell in Christ, the fullness of the Trinity, if that's one way to look at it. God was pleased that every fullness of God to dwell in Christ. You know, yesterday when we looked at Hebrews chapter 1, we saw that the Son is the exact imprint or the express image of the Father. So that is one scripture that shows us that Jesus is God, and that Jesus Christ is God, and that he came to reveal the Father to us. And you remember when we also saw in John 14, when Philip asked verse 8, that show us the Father and it will be enough for you. And Jesus said, Philip, you have been with me all this long. Don't you know that if you have seen me, you have seen the Father? For the Father is in me, and I am in the Father, and the Father is in me. And so likewise here now, the scriptures start to speak to us on how the invisible God becomes visible, and God makes it possible for us who are visible beings to see the invisible God. You know, when you think of, well, when the Bible says, by faith Abraham saw he who was invisible, that means that God wants us to see by faith. So Abraham experienced, the reason why God calls him his friend, the reason why the Bible says Abraham believed God and it was credited to him as righteousness, is because he was able to see the invisible God. But how does he see him? He saw the day of Christ. He saw him in Christ. And that's why Jesus tells his disciples, but Abraham rejoiced on seeing my day. He saw Christ. He beheld Christ. You know, when he was told that, you know, that your offspring, your seed shall have all the earth, and he shall be possessor of heaven and earth, he saw the day of Christ and he rejoiced. And so Colossians chapter 1 verse 15 tells us that he is, it's speaking of Christ, he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation, for by him all things were created, in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, or maybe even let's look at how King James put it, verse 16, for by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. Just a pause there. The Bible is telling us that Christ is the image of the invisible God. The God who is invisible hid his wisdom, that for him to be known, he came and revealed it in Christ. And he says that all things that are created, you know, when the Bible says he's the firstborn of all creation, it does not mean that he is created, but it means that he is before all creation. He is before it. That means that he existed before creation. That's why the Bible says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. So he was there in the beginning, and all things were made by him. And now the Bible is telling us that everything was created in heaven and on earth, visible and invisible. That means that even the devil, all powers, every name, every spiritual being, every spiritual, you know, whether, you know, people fear that this is a principality, this is an angel, this is what. And you see how Paul is able to classify even the powers of darkness. He says thrones, dominions, principalities and powers. You know, this is their stratification. They start at the highest level. Those are thrones, where the rulers. You know, the Bible says, if the rulers of this world had known, they would not have crucified the God of glory. If they had known that Jesus, that God had hidden the redemption of man in Christ, in Jesus Christ, they will not have crucified him at all. But you see, that is the wisdom of God. And it says, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. So the highest are the thrones, the next level are the dominions, then principalities, then powers. And these are the controlling forces that rule over nations, over territories, over regions. You know, they influence people for wickedness. Like, you can go to a place and you find that the powers that are at work there influence people for alcoholism. No one who comes out of that place has not gone through alcohol. And you can ask yourself, why is it that in this clan, in all of us, are going through the same thing? Why? Because there is the forces of darkness in that place have lined up and have influenced the people in that direction. But now God is telling us that he is before all things. And in him, that means that all these things were created by him and for him. Look at the wisdom of God. That means that whether when the Bible says it is he that created the destroyer to work havoc, that means that God, he knew that even when he created the destroyer, that as he works havoc, it is God that allows him to do that for a reason. And the Bible says that no weapon that is fashioned against you shall prosper. And every tongue that rises against you shall condemn in judgment, because this is the heritage of the sons of the servants of God. Now, verse 17, and he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. Our whole world is held in Christ. Verse 18, and he is the head of the body, the church. And he is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might have supremacy, or he might have be preeminent. Let's just take a pause in that. Everything that we see, be it our future, be it our destiny, be it our work, be it those that are against us, the Bible says all things, he is before all things, and in him all things hold together. That means our whole universe is held in God. And beyond that, what he does is that he is the head of the body. That means he is our head. We are in him. That means we are not apart from him. Now, as God is saying that all these things are held in Christ, I want you to see that you're not apart from Christ. That means that as God was creating all these things, you are in him also creating all these things. Why? Because the Bible says that in him we were included in Christ before the foundations of the earth were laid. God included us in him. And that's why the Bible says he is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in everything he might be preeminent. Verse 19, for in him all the fullness of the Godhead was pleased to dwell, and through him to reconcile to himself all things, whether on earth or in heaven, making peace by the blood of his cross. Now, what Jesus did when he died and he became the resurrected Lord, the Bible says he ascended and he filled all things. That means that he brought a unity to heaven and on earth. And how does he bring that unity? He does it in Christ and to the church. And the church, which is his body and he is his head, brings a unity between the natural and the supernatural. God brings a unity the same way that God was pleased that he dwells in Christ, in the visible, is the same way that God now dwells in you and me. When the Bible says, don't you know that your body is a temple of the Holy Spirit? The unity that God brings, that he unites his nature, his spirit, his power, his ability, his fullness, and he brings it and unites it in us. The Bible says, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. That means that it gave God great pleasure that he dwelt in Christ. And not only does he give him great pleasure that he dwelt in Jesus when Jesus on the earth, it also gives God great pleasure that he dwells in you and me who have accepted him as Lord and Savior by faith. And that is why God says that he is the head of the body. He is our head. And the Bible says that all he did this was to bring a reconciliation. And I remember when we read about the end of the age, the Bible says that all these things will be rolled up into like a book when God brings the unity of heaven and earth. And that is why when that unity, when you start to understand and to walk in the consciousness of that unity, then you will know that what Jesus said, that I will give you the keys of the kingdom of heaven and earth, that whatever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven. It does not say whatever you bind in heaven shall be bound on the earth. It says that whatsoever you bind on earth shall be bound in heaven, and whatsoever you lose on the earth, it is loosed in heaven. Why? Because in Christ, God has brought the unity of heaven and earth in you and in Christ. And because Christ dwells in us, God has brought that unity to be in us. And that is why when you move you carry the presence of God. You carry God. You carry the fullness of God. And the Bible says it pleased God that all the fullness, for in him all the fullness of God was pleased to dwell. And through him to reconcile to himself. That means that all things were for him from the onset. But then now he reconciles all those things, whether things on earth or in heaven. And how does he do it? Making peace by the blood of his cross. And look at verse 21. And you who are once alienated and hostile in mind, doing evil deeds, he has now reconciled in his body of flesh by his death, in order to present you holy and blameless above reproach before him. If indeed you continue in the faith, stable and steadfast, not shifting from the hope of the gospel that you had, which has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and of which I, Paul, became a minister. Now you see, when that reconciliation happens, the Bible says that God did it by the body of his flesh and by his death in order to present you. That means it's not even you presenting yourself to God. Remember, we've always said it is Christ that shall present us to him. It is Jesus Christ who shall present us to God and say, this is my bride. This is my wife. This is the church that I died for. And he says, I will present you to myself as holy and blameless and above reproach. That means you have nothing to be ashamed of. And then he says that the only condition is telling you that if you continue in the faith. What is the faith? The faith is that Christ has died for us, and he has brought us into the unity, into the fullness of God. We are in Christ. He is our head. We are his body. And that unity of heaven and earth that is brought into unity in Christ is brought to us. Now let us look at some other verses that will also tell us the same thing. Colossians chapter 2. And let us look from verse 6, we'll read up to verse 10. It says, therefore, as you received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk in him. How are we walking? We are walking in Christ. Walk in him, rooted and built up in him, and established in the faith, just as you are taught, abounding in thanksgiving. That means the more this revelation start to come to you, that you are a carrier of the presence of God. You are carrying the fullness of God, that God actually enjoys to dwell in you. That God, the fullness of God, was pleased to dwell in bodily form. It gives God great pleasure that his spirit can live in us. Remember, it was not even his desire to dwell in temples. His greatest desire was to dwell in man. That's why he said, let us make man in our image and likeness, and let them have dominion. So as you are taught, abounding in thanksgiving, verse 8, see to it that no one takes you captive by philosophy and empty deceit, according to human tradition, according to the elemental spirits of this world, and not according to Christ. So remember, we are being told that let no one take you captive by tradition. And then verse 9, it says, for in him, for who? In Christ, the whole fullness of the deity, or the whole fullness of the Godhead, dwells in bodily form, dwells bodily. And verse 10 and says, and you have been filled in him who is the head of all rule and authority. And that is why when you understand this, you'll realize that God, when he included us in Christ, we are far above rulers. We are far above principalities. We are far above dominions. We are far above powers. We are far above every work of the devil. We are far above sickness. We are far above poverty. Everything, every working of darkness, we are far above it. And the Bible says, For in him the whole fullness of the Godhead dwells in bodily form, in Christ. And the same way it dwelt in Jesus Christ is the same way the fullness of the Godhead is pleased to dwell in you and me. Then someone will ask, how is it possible? How will it be? And the answer is given in Ephesians chapter 3, which we shall conclude with. And in Ephesians chapter 3, verse 14, Paul prays for the church and he says, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom every family in heaven and on earth is named, that according to the riches of his glory, he may grant you to be strengthened with power through his Spirit in your inner being, so that Christ may dwell in your hearts through faith." Look at how God is saying. All that he's telling you is, let him dwell in your heart by faith. It's hard to believe, but God is saying that it pleased the Father. And if you can just believe it, Christ will dwell in your hearts, may dwell in your hearts through faith, that you being rooted and grounded in love may have strength to comprehend with all the saints what is the breadth and length and height and depth, and to know the love of Christ that surpasses knowledge, that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When you understand the love of Christ and that this love surpasses human knowledge, surpasses all knowledge, you will know that it is actually an act of love of God, that he is pleased to dwell in man. And that's how divinity is hidden in humanity, a hidden wisdom. The Bible says when you know that, when you comprehend it, when God has filled you with that knowledge, when Christ has dwelt in your hearts by faith, then that you may be filled with all the fullness of God. When you now start walking in the awareness that you carry the fullness of God, you walk in the fullness of God, that is why you cast out devils. That is why you place your hands on the sick and they are healed. Why? Because you know that you speak life. That means your words, you cannot just use words carelessly, because your words carry power. Why? Because you carry the fullness of God. There is nothing that God spoke that never came to pass. And that is why you prophesy good things. You say, you shall make it. You shall be a success. You are moving forward. You are getting to new heights. You are full of power. You cast out devils. You heal the sick. You raise the dead. Why? Because you may be filled with all the fullness of God. And then the Bible says, now to him who is able to do far more abundantly than all that we ask or think, according to the power that is at work within us. When you have known the fullness of God that is dwelling in you, now God says he's able to do according to the power that is at work in you. And he says, why does he do that? To him be the glory in the church and in Christ Jesus throughout all generations, forever and ever. Amen. God does all this. God was pleased that the fullness of the Godhead to dwell in bodily form, so that it is for the glory of the church and the glory of God. I'll stop there and I pray that God will give us insight into this. My brother, you're welcome.
Thank you, Dr. Mahmoud. Thank you for sharing. Nothing from inside.
Okay, let us pray. Our Heavenly Father and Lord, we thank you. We thank you for your word, that indeed you are pleased to dwell in man. It gives you great joy. We, beings that are weak, beings that are failures, that fail in many ways, but Lord, you say you are pleased to dwell in us, and that even we to dwell in you, that in you we are rooted and firmly established in love, that we may have understanding together with all the saints to comprehend the length, the breadth, the depth, the height of the love of Christ. And I thank you for everyone that has heard this message, that as by faith Christ dwells in their hearts, they may start to experience that fullness of God. They may start to hear that voice of that fullness. They may start to have the understanding of that fullness. They may walk with the mind of Christ. They may speak the very words that whoever that speaks, speaks as the oracles of God. May they speak the words of God. May their hands touch and heal the sick. May they raise the dead. May they speak life. May they influence the earth for the kingdom. May they be above, always, above only, far above all rulers, all dominions, all principalities, all powers, that, Lord, you did it for the church, and it was for your good pleasure. Thank you that you have included us in Christ. And by faith, may you be rooted. May we be rooted in you. May you dwell in our hearts by faith. Thank you that it pleased you that all your fullness dwell in bodily form, in earth, in us. Thank you for this treasure in earthen vessels that we are, to show that this all-surpassing glory is not of us, but is of you. May your name be praised, be worshipped, and be glorified. Whatever we do, may our hands be blessed. Our hands are blessed. Bless our families. Bless everything that concerns us. Everything that we touch, it turns to gold. In Jesus' name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Blessed, blessed day ahead. And shalom. Yeah.